Our next story comes from the front page of the Ames Tribune last week, where I saw the popular restaurant Fighting Burrito is closing its doors. And I remember a little of that early history, and certainly its owner, Matthew Goodman. And so when a restaurant closes, its customers naturally wonder why. And I also wondered if Matthew Goodman, who was also a city councilman and very important in a lot of activities in Ames, is going to still be living in Ames. Hi, Matthew. Welcome.
Hi, Susan. Thank you for having me.
Well, so could you start by telling us why Fighting Burrito is closing?
Yeah, absolutely. We had a great run. It was a lot of fun. We opened in 2003, and when I always tell people, restaurants close for basically four categories of reasons. There's money, there's passion, there's talent, and then there's also external circumstances. So oftentimes properties and sites have issues too, but most of the time it's either money, talent, or passion. And for us, the money is certainly changing Campus Town in terms of total revenue, but also the site had challenges with regards to rent, and then I'm just looking to do something new. So all those things together led to this decision. We are going to stay in Ames. I heard that question in your intro. My wife would kill me if we moved, and the kids are embedded here. So this is our jam. Ames is our jam. We're going to keep that up. But I'm ride sharing to Des Moines regularly for new business, and I'm down there working a lot. But I'll still be here.
Will it be the same kind of business? Will it be a different Flying Burrito?
We do have a Des Moines store, but I'm not integrally involved with that store. We have someone managing that store. I picked up a new business maybe a year and three quarters ago, which is when I started thinking about closing Burrito at the end of the lease. It's just a direct mail marketing business called Valpak. It mails to about 150,000 homes in the Des Moines metro, and I get to go out and develop relationships with small business owners who want to create success and want to grow revenue. And as long as they have passion and talent and have good site information, we can help them grow their business.
Well, you think you personally as an entrepreneur have a very interesting and unusual history. I know you were you graduated in chemistry.
That's right. I love the chemistry.
And you also had a master's in why don't you tell your story yourself?
I'm an industrious, curious guy. So everything I do probably fits into those two categories ever since I was a kid. So when I was in like eighth grade, I got up at 5 a.m. to watch Mr. Wizard's World. That's always kind of dominated everything. Just I love science. I love questions. I loved leadership. I loved making choices and trying to think about what good choices are. So came to school here in 91, got a job at the Eurostand in that same year. My dad luckily was a CPA, so he could do that stuff for me. So I kept working there and then bought that. I had some scholarships, but bought that business to help pay the difference in my college. And then in my junior year, continued, graduated. I also had my first daughter, Harmony, in that time, and that really changed my priorities a lot. So where I probably would have gone to grad school out of Ames, if that hadn't happened, I stayed here around that income machine. And I did continue in my schooling, right? I continued to get a master's in biochem, but there was a point where I made a choice in biochem that I really enjoyed business, and the freedom it gave me and the income helped me be a good long-distance and near-space parent to Harmony. And then she ended up coming here in fourth grade, so probably in the late 90s. But all of that led to entrepreneurship being my primary thing instead of science. But I still use critical thinking and all that. So then in 2003, I found myself with Harmony here and a little bored. And so in that year, we bought another vending cart called Superdog. We opened Fighting Burrito, and I ran for the Ames City Council all in 2003. So I quickly filled it all up.
And, And
to a fault, perhaps.
And you were on the city council at the same time you were still active in other ways in the community, right?
Oh, absolutely. I think it started, I think my first active role outside of just doing the work was Campus Town Action Association. I then joined the Wheatsfield Board. I joined the Octagon Board. And these were all at different times. And all that happened kind of before council, just trying to get connected and just trying to pay more attention to what was happening and contribute more, I guess. Then one of the big things that happened during council was the Ames Progressive Alliance. It's something I was in the beginning of with the help of people like Ann Kinzel, Victoria Shapinski, Betty Baird, Jim Popkin, John Klaus. These people were passionate people about having an impact on government and also just engaging people more in local government. So that was probably one of my favorite things I've ever done besides the kids. And burrito, I guess. You know, I love burrito.
Well, you also mentioned when we were talking that during your term on council was were the decisions for what's happened in Campus Town, this enormous change in Campus Town.
Yes. Yeah. And it's really interesting when you make a choice. So I definitely support a lot of the incentives, and so I'm not a guy who supports a lot of incentives, but I think there are situations in which there's great benefit to the community that outweigh the unfairness that come with incentives. And that's, to me, the real challenge of incentives. Like, do you always just want to help people with tons of money in your community who are doing business? And we try to do other things like the facade grant for small businesses. But one of the things that failed when we were there was we wanted some of these incentives to ensure there'd be local businesses in some of these new properties. So we worked hard and we had the votes for quite a long time, 4-2, but it became a 3-3 vote. And then the then sitting Mayor Ann Campbell didn't choose to engage this idea, which was so she voted against it. Every property that's redeveloped with an abatement incentive had to contribute at least some percentage of the ground floor retail to local business. They had to be a non-formula chain business to try to create that sense of place and identity that all the places people love to visit have. We didn't have the support of the mayor, Ann Campbell, then, and we didn't have the support of half the council. So that would have really shifted things and changed the financial result of those incentives and also the look of Lincoln Way. And Lincoln Way looks new, and that's great, but the local businesses will come, but it will take 3 to 9 years while other businesses start to churn and there's a need to fill those spots where we could have had strong local businesses in there defining the sense of space right away.
So, it's interesting to get a little insight into why it developed the way it did.
Yeah. And you know, every time you incentivize redevelopment especially, you are definitely selecting for those with a lot of money. So you've got to at least consider the impact on those who have less money. And there's going to be displaced businesses. And if you just think about the fact that they'll have to solve it themselves. If you don't care about that impact, then you'll tend to create a more sterile strip mall national chain environment. But there were redevelopers who had a passion for keeping the people who were there. So India Palace, for instance, is still there, which the Jensen properties, they worked personally to make that happen. But when we had an out-of-town concept come in for the Starbucks in those areas, they were not going to have that same passion for local people. So, and that's just their job is to create returns.